This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail Cheaters, welcome to the 100th episode of the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and as usual, I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great. It feels good to be 100. they told me my body would start breaking down like right around the age of like 72, 73.
Yeah, yeah.
But here we are, 100. I feel good. I feel like I could do maybe like 15, 16 more episodes of Always Cheating.
Yeah, I feel like podcasts don't die of old age the same way, right? And Mark Maron's on like the 750th episode of that podcast, and it's still a solid B plus. You know, maybe it's not the A plus it was before, but it's right up there.
So long as that mid-roll Casper mattress money keeps flowing, podcast will live to see another era. I love it.
So we got to 100, Brandon. You know, I don't want to talk too much about us. We got a cool segment coming up in a minute here, where we asked a bunch of people that we've been talking to on social media or just an email or whatever, for you know, one piece of fantasy advice they could pass along as kind of a just something special to do on our 100th episode. But, you know, when we recorded this, when we started this podcast 3 years ago, did you think we'd get to 100? Did that seem reasonable?
I don't know that I really gave it much thought. Usually you just tell me to do something and I do it. So
very persistent.
You are very persistent. I mean, we mentioned this, I think maybe it's embedded in some past episodes of Always Cheating, but we actually had a podcast prior to this that doesn't exist anymore. And I think it took us 3 years to actually generate like 30 episodes of that podcast.
Right.
So if you were to ask me 3 years ago, Josh, would we make it to 100? I'd say, sure, but it'll take us 10 years.
It's a weird, the evolution of podcasts from like about 10 years ago when it was, every podcast was two guys, almost always guys, just talking about their lives, right? It was like the podcast equivalent of like a live journal or something, or,
yes,
you know,
yes,
blogger. To now where the only way to have a successful podcast is to be the most micro specific, you know, it's like, you can't have a Premier League podcast. You have to have a fantasy Premier League podcast.
You've got to have a lane.
Yeah. You got to have a lane.
And also the problem with the two guys thing is at one point our lives just became really uninteresting. And now FPL is really the only interesting thing in our lives. I mean, I know you have a baby and all that.
If you're under 30, wait until you hit 30 and your life gets suddenly like way, like it's like 20% is interesting. I can't explain how it happens. It's just, you just stop having as many adventures.
Really, okay, so
anyway, on that sour note.
All right, well, let's talk about FPL real quick, and then we're gonna have that special 100 episode section, like you said, Josh. But before we talk about our game week 11 review, a quick note from Antti Granlund on Twitter, who says, "This game week has got me wondering once again: is FPL a game of skill with a bit of luck, or a game of luck with a bit of skill?" I think game week 11 was a little trying for some people, especially given Mr. Harry Kane.
Yeah, the Kane thing was frustrating. I mean, that's, I guess you have to call that bad luck. I don't know that there's a skill-based argument involving not captaining Harry Kane this weekend. I mean, I guess there's some sort of like game theory argument that, you know, that there was an equally viable captain choice this weekend than someone like Mo Salah, and that going with him was a way to be sort of different and move up. While everyone kind of jogged in place, which is actually what happened to my team. I ended up with a slight red error this game week. And I think I'm on 48 points. So I'm actually still in the top 100K. I think I only dropped like 200 spots. Like amazingly, I went from 91,000 to 92,040. So yeah, I think the average was 44 points. I felt great going into Sunday. I was on 28 points and I still had Captain Kane.
What was your transfer this week?
I transferred in Kane, for Murata, which was,
we'll get to that later.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to get too retroactive about this stuff. And like, if a move doesn't work out, it was a bad move. Like it's a dangerous way of thinking. I don't know that it was necessarily a bad move, but I don't think I shored up my weakest link this week, right? Like what I really needed was a defender. I knew my defense was going to be a problem, and it was. I got 1 point from Davies, the most annoying cameo ever. It didn't really matter because Kolasinac would have come in for 1 point too. But it was just the fact that I couldn't watch that Arsenal game now kind of rooting for Kolasinac, right? It was just that 1 point was just locked into my
yeah, into right, my team. Right. Even though it seemed assured that Kolasinac wasn't going to get anything
sure.
out of that. He could at least had the hope.
Exactly. And he came out really dangerous in the first half. And I was like, oh, if he does anything, I'm going to be so annoyed.
Yeah.
The Davies sub, even if that Davies sub had happened like the 77th minute, it would have been okay. But it was literally like 3 minutes of extra time mm-hmm. and in the third minute with 30 seconds to go. Like, I think he might have touched the ball once.
He had a throw in, I remember.
Throw it, yeah. So maybe he's on one BAP or something.
Exactly. Yeah, do you get BPS for a throw in? Must. It's a completed pass.
So you had a better game week. I mean, you had the reverse of me, which is you had a poor day one and a very good day two.
Yeah, absolutely. So my transfer was dropping Ben Davis, the man you were just talking about. I think just all the uncertainty about his playing time and how that's been an ongoing saga. I figured it was time to dump and brought in my old friend Ben Mee. And he delivered. He was the only player I had on Saturday that delivered, and he got the two bonus for 8 points. But yeah, not having Mohamed Salah in my midfield had me really down in the dumps. That's a deep hole to climb out of when you're staring at a midfielder who is highly owned and you don't have, and he's got two goals and three bonus under his belt.
That's and really could have had more if those everyone was kind of chasing goals at the end of that game.
Yeah,
like, no, Liverpool for sure. Stopped playing like a team the last 20 minutes of that match.
But yeah, it all turned around for me on Super Sunday, starting with Kevin De Bruyne, my favorite highly priced. Overvalued midfielder. It got me the goal and the bonus. And everything that I needed to go right did with Richarlison and, of course, Calvert-Lewin, my favorite player. I didn't call you trash last week, Calvert-Lewin. I'm going to go back and delete that episode.
Maybe still trash, but he did finally score a goal. We have to talk about the end of that game, though. I mean, so good game week, but do you feel like you lost 6 points at the end of that game? Because every Richarlison owner did, right?
Yeah. Calvert-Lewin was also flirting with upwards of two bonus toward the end of that game, weirdly, as a sub scoring what would not have been a game-winning goal. But he looked like he could have been on two, Richarlison on one. But yeah, if cleverly converts that penalty, it's just a sensational, sensational feat for Richarlison. Yeah.
Just to like walk through that real quick. So Richarlison already on a goal in the like 11th minute of extra time. He gets fouled in the mm-hmm. box.
Yeah.
Immediately picks up the ball and runs to the penalty spot, right? Yeah. Like he's like, I'm taking this. Three Watford players
have to
Three Watford players have to run over and like hustle away from the ball, and they're like, oh, Tom Cleverley is our man. but he was floating with bonus points already. And so if he had the goal and the assist, I mean, I'm sure he would have picked up three. So Yeah, and Cleverly blows it. And as a non Richarlison owner, that was that like it was like a night. It was like one bright spot in an otherwise very dark. I mean, it was Sunday wasn't horrible. I got points from Sterling and Jesus, but yeah, the Richarlison miss really made my day.
I have to say, So from the perspective of a Richarlison owner, yeah, it's super aggravating. Probably, as you say, a 6-point hit that you take there as a Richarlison owner, but the fact that Cleverly, his penalty miss was so awful, effectively changed the narrative in my FPL brain from, oh, poor Richarlison, to, wow, Tom Cleverly, that is just a laughable, humiliating, real-life moment for him. And that's mostly what I'm going to spend my time thinking about, is kind of how I pity Tom Cleverly, not how I pity myself as a Richarlison owner.
Yeah, and so I guess to go back to wrap up on Andy Gorelin's question, the fact that there was an 11th minute of extra time to be played, the fact that a player won a penalty and that another player missed that penalty, you have to call that luck, right? That's not skill. I don't think it's all luck with a little bit of skill. I certainly don't think it's all skill with a little bit of luck. I think they're pretty. They're close together. It's like it's somewhere in between poker and blackjack, you know. It's like a little. I mean, do you think that? I don't know. I mean, there are certain managers who are just consistently in the top 10K or top. Yep. You know, I don't know. Very few, right? I mean, and even the best managers have a howler, and so I don't know. I think
we're going to get into this with the 100th episode celebration because we've got feedback from our good friends on social who have sort of many different angles to look at it, whether it's down to probability, whether it's down to eye test, whether it's down to having fun. I don't think there's an answer for that, and it just kind of depends on how it is you want to play the game.
Yep, I agree. But you know, exactly. So we'll get into this in a minute. Before we do, Brandon, the always cheating Super League. Every now and then, I like to attempt to read off the top 10 myself. Despite my inability to pronounce even basic words like premiere.
That was pretty good. I liked your pronunciation there.
That was pretty good. Yeah. I get in my head about it because in the UK, in the US, we say premiere, and over there, I think they say premier, right? So it's some
parts of Michigan here in the States, we say premier.
Premier. So who knows how to say it? And also, it doesn't matter. Into the top 10 we go, Brandon. Number 10, it doesn't matter. Karen Henshin, 51 points, 678 points total. In ninth, Emils Gladegossar, Emil Svensson. In seventh, there's a two-way tie for seventh, Berbashov, Andre Bergstrom, and Beautiful Creatures, Magnus Westerstrand. In sixth, we have Red Devils, which is Danielle Kalim. Number five is Solafingers, Danny McHugh, which I think is a new entry in the top 10.
I would have remembered Solafingers, and I do not. So yeah, welcome, Danny. So.
Nick Tudhope, Football Friend FC. He's been a staple of the top 10 for a while now. Number three, Giant FC, John Eric Matra.
I think that might actually be Glaunt FC, Josh.
Oh, is it? Well, I got to...
Put on those, put in on those my, specs.
My Google Drive document. No, I need my bifocals. I'm not that old. Number two is our Fabio Borges, who wrote us a very nice email this week. And I think we'll try to actually bring him up a little bit later. The missing Fabio. Everyone wanted to know where was Fabio. Yeah. And so Fabio has shown up, sent us an email, talked a lot about avoiding hits. Which really, I don't know. I don't know if you read this email that he sent us, Brandon, but I thought it was some really great advice. Maybe I'll see if I can repeat some of it with permission on the Facebook.
Yeah, page. You know how litigious Borges' publisher is. So
then enter Shaqiri, Scott Powell, new number one. Congrats to you, Scott. Possibly just a new entrant in the league.
Yeah,
right?
I think Scott's a new entrant in the league. I was looking at his Enter Shaqiri team, currently ranked overall in the world 131. So, wow, Scott, you are an esteemed company, the League of Leagues, the always cheating
yes.
Super League.
Congratulations, Scott, and we welcome all managers, no matter how well they're doing and how far they move us down in our own league.
Yeah.
You can join the league tab on our site at alwayscheating.com. You can also find the league code on our Facebook page and our Twitter page.
We have a quick shout out, too, in reference to the Always Cheating League. One of our friends who occasionally finds himself in the top 10, Harry Atkinson. You remember his team name, A Hootin' and a Hollerin'.
I do.
I think that team name made you chuckle on the pod, Josh. So Harry reached out to us to tell us about the mini league he runs in Brighton. And he wanted us to just give a quick shout out to some of the other managers in his league. Scalacticos. These are all Brighton themed names. I don't know if you can pick up on this. Scalacticos. Yep, also, the Knock Heartbreakers and Gross Indecency FC, which is a favorite team name of mine. So we welcome all Brighton people into the Always Cheating Super League.
Absolutely. Brandon, rants of the week. Scott Gill says, have a week off, you guys. Deserve it after a disaster match day today. That only applies to one of the two of us, Brandon. Just a quick aside here. Yesterday, you know, on 28 points, I only had four players who played. I had seven players. I got more points from four players yesterday than I had from seven today. And I was up about 40,000 in the overall ranks. I think it was at like 55,000. And I was starting to dream, Brandon. I was starting to think, you know, number if Kane one. Has a not number one, but I was thinking, you know, if Kane has a big day tomorrow, let's say he gets like, you know, 17 points or something like that, and I get something from Jesus and something from Sterling, I was like, and you know, Ben Davies plays, I was like, maybe the top 10K by December. And now those dreams have all been shattered.
I love how you're over there dreaming about points that you're gonna get from Jesus, Sterling, and Kane, and I'm over in my little hovel thinking, oh, Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, oh, yeah, points I'm going to get from them.
It's a fun, you know, it's funny. We have not talked about templates very much this season, have we? Not as much as we have in years past. It feels like there are a lot of different ways to play. Yeah, right,
the template is constantly changing, much to everyone's frustration.
Michael Spalding says, it's a question for you, Brandon. He says, what is the most that your vice captain has ever come through for you? I was poised between miracle and disaster during the City game week and ended up okay. I think he had captained Jesus. I think he had a screenshot of Jesus.
Yeah. Vice captain coming through for me. I'm really struggling to remember when I've ever had a vice captaincy score big for me. I mean, maybe it's happened once in the entire 7 years I've been playing FPL.
I can't remember either. I feel like I have some vague memory of Gareth Bale like 3 or 4 years ago. Nothing in the last couple of years. I feel like if I had like a real like miracle moment, I'd bring it up to the podcast like every two game weeks.
Yeah.
Like I can't think of anything.
Somebody in our cash league actually captained Dele Alli this week and ended up with the vice captaincy on Salah. Definitely worked out.
I was like enraged by that.
this is for you, like, Ben, if you're listening. I'm sure you are.
It's not that like it was his fault or anything. I mean, I don't think anyone knew that Alli was going to be out for this match.
Well, that's what I had to say to that is, if you're a seasoned manager, you're just so it's ingrained in you. Put the armband on. At least you need a sure starter. I mean, obviously, that's not going to happen 100% of the time, particularly when you're banking on teams with a lot of rotation like Man City. But pretty much every single time, your armband lands on somebody that you know is definitely going to start.
Yep. Well, I mean, the problem is this season, there are a lot of times when you want to captain City players because they're fixtures. And at this point, we really don't know when they're going to play or if they're going to play at all. And it doesn't even seem like minutes in the previous match is a factor,
yeah,
right? No. I mean, you know, so that has been tricky. I mean, I know that there were some people who captained, you know, Jesus and Sterling, you know, 2 weekends ago. And the idea was, well, at least, you know, certainly one of the two of them will start, you know. So, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's trickier this year.
One last rant here, Josh. I'll read it out. It's from Luke W. on Twitter. If you were ranked over 3 million in the world and can't catch a break, is it time to take a minus 20 point hit to fix the season? Before you answer that question, Josh, about whether it's good to take a minus 20, Luke says, I want the answer, but I've already done it. So,
yeah. I've been doing this always cheating advice shop thing on Twitter the last few game weeks. just where I sort of pop on. It's usually like on my lunch break at work. and I'll sort of say, hey, come on, you know, let's chat for a bit. And just invariably got a couple questions about like whether like a minus 8 is a good idea or a minus 12 is a good idea. And I always say no. I mean, it's so hard for me to envision a scenario where burning 4 is bad enough, right? Uh-huh. Burning 4 puts you in a gigantic hole. Yeah. It really does.
It sure.
Yeah, especially for replacing a player who isn't injured. And I mean, just this game week, right? I mean, burning, you know, I didn't burn 4, but, you know, dropping Murata for Kane, you know, when I had defensive problems that I should have shored up instead, you know, really ended up costing me because I probably would have captained Salah, yeah. You know, so. So I don't think that burning 4 or and certainly not burning 20 is gonna, yeah, because there's no, you don't know who you're buying, there, you know, I mean.
There's one world in which I would burn 20, and that's a world in which I have no friends, I'm in no mini leagues, I'm just competing with 5 million strangers out there on the FPL site. I would be willing to dig a 20-point hole just if my goal was great overall rank at the end of the season. The fact is, if you're...
For the record, I think Luke W. is an active... I think he's active on Reddit and other places, so he's got some friends, Brandon.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't trying to say anything about
those
Luke.
Those were some body blows there. That was tough. All right, Brandon, let's take a break, and let's come back with 100 years of FPL solitude.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Brandon, we want to do something special for our 100th episode. Someone had suggested that we go back and find 3 years worth of mispronouncing names, which would have been kind of funny, actually, because I, for one thing, I don't know if we've ever pronounced a name like Deo Mercy Mbakani the same way twice, right? The
nope.
Patron saint of the podcast.
From Mo Bakani to Mbakani and everywhere in between.
Yeah, we've fallen in love with a lot of players over the years. I mean, we loved Mbakani, still do, of course. May he rest in peace. He's dead now. We loved Quad Mopoku.
Gone too soon.
May he rest in peace. Also dead.
Yeah, goodbye, Poku.
And who else did we love? Is there anyone besides those two? Oh, Sam Vokes, of course. So score this.
Oh, game. The Volkswagen. Yeah. I actually have an axe to grind with Sam Vokes after what he did to my Southampton clean sheet this weekend.
Is that why you didn't tweet it? I was waiting for you to tweet. I thought maybe you were too angry about that to tweet it.
Okay, this is stepping all over the toes of our special 100th episode celebration, but I just had a full-on Ryan Bertrand meltdown when that Vokes goal went in, and I couldn't even handle the joy that I usually get from Sam Vokes. So, yeah, sorry.
I still love him. Yeah, I was having fun. I was actually solo parenting all weekend, and I was at the first of two bars that I went to with my baby.
You sound like a great dad.
Yeah, I really. One of the, well, so the first one, we went and ate nachos and watched some soccer, and that was fine because it was like an empty bar. And the second was a kids' concert at a separate bar. So I think that was fine, you know? They weren't even back to back. We broke it. She got a nap in the middle.
Only in Brooklyn, right? Yeah, exactly. Kids' concert at a bar.
Yeah.
All right. In true always cheating fashion, we've actually had an incredible un-FPL related digression in the midst of our fanfare.
Right.
So what are we doing here?
So for 100th episode, we want to do something, you know, just a little different, a little special. And so we reached out to people that we've been talking to, whether it's on email, Twitter, you know, in person, over the last few years. And we asked them for one, if they could pass along one single piece of FPL advice, what would it be? And so we tried to pick people that if you were active on Twitter or Reddit or whatever, you've probably heard of already. We don't want to be too obscure, like just like 8 friends of ours. So we picked, you know, we got really generous response from just a ton of different people, as you'll hear in just a second here. And then we just reached out to a couple people who maybe don't even have their own platform, but there's someone like Dave from Burnley who has had a question in like basically every episode of the podcast since we started.
Sometimes three.
So the responses were really great. And I think we're just going to read through them all. You know, a lot of these managers are, you know, like incredible, excellent managers. And so I don't think we need to like read off their comment and then comment ourselves on them.
Right? We don't need annotated, always cheating version of these pieces of advice.
Yeah, exactly. If I have any note I want to add or whatever, then fair enough. Otherwise, we're just going to read through these and hopefully they will be useful to you, no matter whether you're listening to this now or in the future, or, you know, maybe we'll like take out this part of the podcast and like release it as a separate episode or something like that.
Ooh, like a mobisode.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe we'll put it up on
a webisode.
Yeah, maybe we'll put it on the Patreon page or something like that. Just like a little 20 minutes of solid FPL advice.
All right, so the first piece of advice comes from our friend FPL Stag. Great follow on Twitter at FPL Stag. And FPL Stag writes for Roto World Premier League and hails from Cork, Ireland. And yeah, this is what
I had the chance to meet him, Brandon, game week two. And he is just a really awesome guy. And if you get a chance to meet him, you should, because he's great and he's really smart and thoughtful. And yeah, like you said, a good social media follow too.
Awesome. All right. Stag says, this is broken into three discrete pieces of advice. Are you ready, Josh?
I'm ready.
All right. Point A, don't make early transfers based on value unless it's for a critically important elite player. Managers are burnt year after year for acting too early.
Yeah. Probably something you suffer from more than me, because I like I refuse to figure out how to like build value in the first few weeks of the season.
yeah. Focusing on team value definitely is a way to get burnt time after time. If luck isn't on your side,
can't even do it this year. It's such a mess.
Point B from Steg: Twitter is a hive of groupthink. Just because everyone is raving about a player doesn't mean you should get them as a blocking tactic. Realistically, the Twitter sphere and blogs in the English language influence at maximum 250,000 teams weekly in a game of 5 million teams. So that's an interesting perspective for me, just to step back and suddenly realize, yeah, everyone who listens to podcasts like this one or is really active on Reddit or Twitter, Facebook, they are representative of what is, in the grand scheme of things, a pretty small sample.
Yeah, what is it like? I guess 250 into 5 million is it's, you know, 1/25 of the FPL the Twitter sphere represents, you know, the FPL, you know, group as a whole.
Yeah, and last point from Stag, advice for FPL managers is read a manager's press conference quotes yourself to judge injury news. That's 50-50. Judge for yourself. This is especially important with Mourinho and Phil Jones, it seems. there are great wrap-ups, particularly Ben Dinnery on Twitter is really good at sort of live tweeting manager press conferences on Friday or whatever day before a game is.
He is, but I think he's talking about going a step further, which is something I have found myself doing for sure. I remember doing this with Higazi in game week 3 or 4 when I still had him in my squad and I was debating whether or not to transfer him out. And I found myself digging through like Midlands, like websites and blogs to try to get like all of the copy I could from Tony Pulis's press conference to see if I could glean anything from it. And you can almost always find the, you know, like every line of dialogue. And, I do think it's useful. I mean, it's obviously, it's only for the super crazy.
For the nerds. Like me. All right. Who's next in our esteemed list of well-wishers?
Ken Rooney from the Irish Examiner. If you guys are not reading Ken Rooney's weekly column, you absolutely should. And you can even go back and read past ones because, Brandon, as I think you'll agree, the GIFs are fantastic.
Best GIFs around, absolutely, in the FPL community, no doubt.
Ken says, don't buy problems. FPL will provide you with them for free. What I mean by that is, don't buy players the intention of selling them again 2 or 3 weeks later, because by then, injury, suspension, and rotation will mean you'll probably have a more important transfer to make, and you'll be stuck with that player you really don't want long term. Think Iheanacho last season. Yeah. I had a moment. It was I'll finish his line here. Always trying to transfer in a player with the hope, however unrealistic that hope may be, that he will be a season keeper. Yeah, I've had a couple moments like this. Saito Berahino was once stuck in my squad for about 8 game weeks.
A cancer.
It was like I was running around putting out fires like everywhere in my squad. And it was like I was like, the fixtures were just good enough, you know. It was like,
sure,
I couldn't justify just burning 4. I was like, like this could work out. It's kind of like you with Calvert-Lewin, really, right? I mean, it's kind of the same. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Now we know what the likes of Tony Pulis and Mark Hughes actually feel like in real life.
So thank you, Ken. Good advice.
Yeah. Yeah, another amazing friend of the podcast, and Nick Cummings has this piece of advice for us, and we can't go without saying, Nick really helped get Always Cheating to where it is through his blog, Transfer Hub, triggerlips.com. I think a lot of our listeners know Nick and know that he is just a long-time, really amazing, successful FPL manager.
That website just died this week.
Sadly, I know. So sad news.
Yeah, Nick did not die.
All good advice. You can't get it. You can't access it anymore.
Yeah, Nick was. We were talking because he was passing on his advice, and he's like, you know, people are treating me like I'm dead. You know, it's like he's just doing a podcast or a blog or whatever. It does take a lot of work, and you know, unless you're just totally nerding out about it, there's just no point in doing it.
Yeah. So thanks, Nick, for all the years of sharing our podcast on your blog. It's been a real trip.
Yep.
But Nick leaves us with this great piece of FPL advice. He says, my advice would be to not take short-term 1 week punts. I still make this mistake myself and nearly always regret it. The only time I would make an exception would be if that player was a big leader on the week's captain poll. So I actually considered bringing in Salah for De Bruyne this week just to offset what I thought was going to be a big captaincy option there. I in the end, kept De Bruyne, and I feel like it came out in the wash.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, considering you picked up 8 from me, it clearly worked out fine. It's interesting, as we read through these, I mean, Ken Rooney's advice and Nick's are actually very similar. I feel like there's like a theme that will start to develop here as we read through these. Dave Wagner-Lodahl, who is still in first play, he joined our mini league this season, and he's already dominating. He's taking our money. I'm within 18 points. I call that striking distance. But Dave, he was also on the podcast a few weeks ago. My one piece of advice, I think stolen from Nick Cummings, is to address your weakest link first. Sounds obvious, but it's often hard to resist luxury transfers and punts. So I revert back to this point when tinkering.
Yeah, I mean, go back to what you were saying about Berahino. I mean, maybe you thought there were bigger fires for you to put out, but was Berahino that fire that you should have immediately put out?
I think it applies to this week. I think bringing in Kane was a luxury transfer. I had a perfectly valid captain option in Mo Salah. I had a player in Alvaro Morata who was playing at home, granted against a stingy Man United side, but it was still a home match. And I had a defense that was guaranteed to get me a couple one-pointers. And instead of addressing the defense, I went for the home run with Kane, and it really cost me. So, I do think it's something that luxury transfers almost sounds like, I don't want to spend too long on every single one of these, because this would be like a 3-hour podcast, but I think this is one that really does make a lot of sense. And I think maybe it just resonates with me because I'm so guilty of this. I'm a very attack minded when it comes to my transfers. I do love luxury. I'm always looking to move forwards and attacking mids. And I find myself with defensive problems and bench problems that I just don't address for 10 or 15 weeks at a time. And it seems like it always comes back to haunt me. And this is a personality thing, I guess. Right?
Would you say you're goal obsessed? Are you hungry for goals?
Maybe. I'm obsessed with big breakout performances, right? I'm obsessed with bringing in players who could get me double figures. And that's something I think about all the time when I'm making transfers. Could this person net me 10 or more points this game week?
Yeah.
And that's almost never the case with the defender, right? So, but with the right midfielder, certainly any of these Man City midfielders, with a lot of the forwards, that thought is there, you know, and so it's hard to resist. And that's why it's even hard for me to have a cheap third striker, because I just don't see the potential for a big payoff there. But I think it's a flaw in my thinking that I think I probably need to work on.
All right. Thanks for that advice, Dave. You're the best. You're truly the best. Next piece of wisdom comes from Peter Blake, who had an amazing episode on our Patreon page, a Patreon exclusive episode that some of our best listeners got access to. There's also a teaser of that somewhere on our SoundCloud page with Peter Blake. You know him from his great blog, mathematicallysafe.wordpress.com. He is a data miner, and he just loves looking at the numbers, and he makes great FPL decisions based on rational thinking, which is something I cannot relate to in the slightest bit. So check Peter out at mathsafe_FPL on Twitter. Peter says, I'd say the thing to remember most of all is that FPL is about probability. Over the long run, the sensible decisions will pay off more often, and the punts will fail more often. In the long run, obvious choices will benefit your rank more. So I just love Peter's cold, composed take on the game.
It's so true, too. And the best managers think this way. This is why, you know, we talked about Nick Cummins earlier, but, you know, one of the reasons he's done so well is, you know, I'm thinking more about like captains here than transfers, but actually, I guess that's the same thing. I mean, you know, he's talking about decisions that includes captain decisions as well. But Nick will invariably captains the most, the overall leader in, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's the poll on his own site or the poll on the Fantasy Football Scout page. Just the idea that like sort of the obvious mitigates. Captain choice tends to be the best captain choice.
Sure, sure. Not necessarily mitigating risk, but that's if I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and I poll the audience is always right.
Exactly. All right. So FPL Stato. Thank you, Peter. FPL Stato, long time. I don't know. What do we call him? A Twitter friend, someone that we've interacted with for a long time. Just
a
really
close
nice.
Close personal Twitter friend.
Close personal Twitter friend.
He's just an incredibly nice personality, too. He's yeah. always cordial and fun to interact with.
Yeah, exactly. And very, you know, informative. A really good follow on Twitter. He says, there is no true science to FPL, but realizing you are mostly managing luck is the first step to respecting how much control you really have over your success and will put you on the right track. Don't hold grudges and try to play the percentage game. Don't leave yourself too exposed by not having high ownership players, but leave a little headroom to express a differential. Damn it, even be boring if you have to. That's boring in quotations, or inverted commas, as they say in the UK. Because after all, there's nothing boring about getting a top 10K finish or winning your work mini league, etc. Play the same game, whether you've just had a green arrow or a fat red. Amen.
Amen, Stato. Yeah, there's nothing boring about crushing coworkers. I also love what Stato has to say about holding grudges. Don't hold grudges. That often stands between many managers and the best transfer for that week.
Who is your biggest grudge right now in the fantasy game? Who do you dislike the most?
Who do I dislike the most? It's like there are players out there like Raheem Sterling that have just done me dirty by me not owning them. Sure. And then there are players like Hazard who I hate because over the course of many seasons, they've done poorly for me.
Yeah, Hazard was the one that stood out to me because I've been like so burned on getting him the wrong game week over the years. Like when he's cold, he's so cold.
Yeah, I love that. It's like an Any Given Sunday style speech from Stato there. thank you for contributing. Next one comes from our friend Luke Thunberg, FPL genius on Twitter. Check him out at FPL Thunshot. Luke also was on the pod on my now legendary Wildcard Diaries podcast from earlier this season, which I had a meltdown about my early wildcard. So, Luke, this one's for you. Luke says, my one piece of advice would be to not take FPL too seriously. The game doesn't take too much time to play. Spend time doing what you love, and don't let the results of one game week define your season or your happiness. Did we hear from Luke after he had a particularly bad game week?
Oh, did Luke have a bad game week?
I don't know. I'm just hypothesizing. Like that is the attitude that I will go back and reflect on this message from Luke after having a particularly terrible game week. But
I envy him for saying that the game doesn't take too much time to play, because it's amazing how much thought I make for a game that I, in theory, can only make one transfer.
Yeah, tell that to the boss of every single always cheating listener out there.
Thank you, Luke. Dave from Burnley, the unofficial, the Pete Best of the podcast. Dave says, my one Pete, is that right? I don't know. The Great Gazoo, maybe? Someone who appears a lot.
who is the Great Gazoo?
The Great Gazoo was a character who was introduced to the Flintstones, like in the last season or two.
That's an amazing pull. I like that.
Dave says, my one piece of advice would be to try and spot the differentials in advance of everyone else. The real fun in the game is actually watching football to try and spot a player who can advance your rank. I like that. That's a little different than we've heard so far.
Yes, I love this because we're all guilty of the fact that we play FPL because we love watching football. I do. I would be interested to hear if there's anyone out there who like distinctly has always hated watching football or Premier League, but they just somehow enjoy.
They love games or something.
They just love games. It's like people who get really into like word searches or something like that. Yeah. But lest we forget, it's just a hell of a lot of fun to watch football and cheer and be happy and not be sad all the time.
And try to feel like you're playing up the skill part of it as much as possible by watching the matches. And, you know, because it is fun for me. I mean, playing the game is fun. Watching the matches are fun. And even being emotional and angry about it is kind of fun in a way because, you know, it doesn't really matter. And I had a moment on Twitter on Saturday where I was like, basically I just went on some rant about Fabianski and how much he sucks and how much that team sucks. And it was just like, I was not operating as the manager of the always cheating Twitter account. It was just like me bitching, right? About how annoyed I was that I have in my squad. Yeah. And I was like, it doesn't even get saves. And then Tom Campbell on Twitter was like, you know, he's number one in saves on the league, right? And I had to like admit that he was right. But what I really wanted to say was like, can't you see, Tom? I'm just so angry. You know, like I'm not being rational. I'm just pissed. Yeah.
The red mist had descended over our Twitter account.
Exactly.
Dave also had a good amendment to this, I think, later in his communication on direct message. He said, if you miss a penalty, you sleep with the fishes. So I think that's also a true piece of advice.
Sure, sure.
Tom Cleverley owners out there, dump him.
Although, hey, Mo Salah missed a penalty last week and had 15 this week.
Well, okay, touche. Touche. You saw my Tom Cleverley and you raised me on Mohamed Salah. I don't know how you did it.
I was ready. Yeah.
Okay. Our next piece of wisdom comes from FPL Cat. You know her on Twitter as @MortCat. She's just a great friend of ours and is really generous with sharing episodes of her pod with her social media feed. So Cat's advice, after years of making early rash transfers and taking hits to chase points, I have finally smacked myself and got things under control. Patience is the most valuable asset in the game. Wait out those periods in between game weeks and international breaks. Very appropriate, Cat. Forget about a 0.1 price rise, and above all, give your players a chance to prove themselves. You brought them in for a reason. So here is Cat, Josh, preaching patience.
Very hard for me to do. Again, very attack-minded as a manager. I'm not very patient. I mean, Richarlison is the biggest example of this. I mean, if I had just kept him for 1 week longer, he would still be my squad. And now, I really feel like, and we might get to this later on if we even get to questions, about whether Richarlison is like a true, maybe the true must-own player right now in the league. Given his price, right? I mean, the price is a huge factor, but he's
overall value.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of overall value, is he a Riyad Mahrez little player? I'm not willing to go that far yet, but he's getting there. So thank you, Kat. next one comes from Nick and Tom at Who Got the Assist. They're WGTA _FPL on Twitter, and they've always been really nice about our podcast, and they've sent us some emails that are really nice too, and long-time friends of the pod. So Nick and Tom say, our advice would be to avoid knee-jerking and taking unnecessary hits. It's nice to catch price rises, but early sideways moves rarely pay off. So just take your time, wait until after the midweek fixtures have been paid, and make an informed decision later on in the week rather than a transfer out in anger.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, people obsessed with team value really struggle with waiting later in the week to make that that more prudent transfer. It's really quite sage wisdom there.
Yeah, team value is, like, basically done, right? Like, that, like, until, like, they figure out the price stuff, like, it doesn't exist right now.
Yeah, like, the global economy is collapsing, and so is the FPL economy. Just pay, like, what you want.
It's just moving so fast. I mean, you know, Raheem Sterling, he's up 0.6 and 2 weeks, and then he's down 0.3, and now he's back. You know, it's you can't like get ahead of it anymore.
Bertrand dropped to 5.4. I mean, he had the Lukaku syndrome over this past week. He was meant to drop from 5.5 to 5.4 all week, and he didn't until, like, immediately after the clean sheet wipeout against Burnley.
The rage transfers.
the rage price drop. Yeah. All right, thanks, Nick and Tom from the Who Got the Assist podcast.
Yeah. Couple more to go here.
Personal favorite of mine, Siraj Gharish. Hey, Siraj, one of our earliest listeners, one of the earliest people to get a question on our podcast.
Finalist in the in our first ever head-to-head league.
Yeah, last season, you and Siraj were in the final, and you took Siraj out, like, in
my greatest fashion. One of my all-time great FPL moments, to be honest, given that he triple-captained Kane and Kane got a hat-trick. How do you beat someone like that? It's amazing.
Ben Davis, that's how you do it.
Ben Davis did save that week.
All right, Siraj has a piece of wisdom for all of us here on our 100th birthday. He says, don't make transfers for the hell of it, and always try to save two free transfers if possible. Saving frees not only gives you more flexibility with future transfers, but helps improve your overall rank. Because if two teams have the same points total, the one with fewer total transfers will be ranked higher. And given the... Did you know that?
I don't think I did, and I feel dumb.
The margins ever that thin?
Well, you see it in our like the top 10 of the Hail Cheaters League sometimes, right? Well, you understand why one person is above the other. And
Good on you, Siraj. Good knowledge. Given the number of people that play FPL, Siraj finishes off by saying that makes significant difference. So thank you for teaching me something I didn't know, Siraj, as always.
That's a really fun. That's like a little, like, he buried the lead there almost, you know. So really pretty interesting stuff. Jamie Reeves at Fantasy Football Magazine, who has been kind enough to first of all, it's a great magazine, brand new subscriber.
I am a subscriber. I get it monthly here in my Brooklyn apartment, ships worldwide. It's a great fun read.
I know a lot of our listeners also subscribe, and a lot of people who've actually, you know, a lot of people we interact with on Twitter have actually written for the magazine as well. So,
yeah. And hey, we can quickly plug our Patreon page, patreon.com/alwayscheating. If you support the podcast, you actually get a 10% discount to Jamie's mag. So another reason to support our pod.
Yep. And Jamie Reeves says, my piece of advice would be to always remember it's a season-long game. Calculate the potential and success of a transfer based on a sample range of at least 4 matches. That's not to say you shouldn't treat yourself to a knee jerk or a point hit every once in a while.
I love that sentiment that a point hit is sort of treating yourself. It's a special cherry on top.
It feels that way because you secretly know you shouldn't be doing it. You know it's probably not going to work out. All right, let me ask you this, Brandon. Over the many, many seasons, I have taken point hits. Oh, I've done it probably at least, you know, 40 to 50 times, right?
Yeah.
You know, over the, you know, 6 seasons or however long I've been playing. I would say of those 60 times, I have been like, yeah, that was a, let's exclude double game weeks, right? Which are kind of a weird, you know, in their own category.
Outlier.
I would say maybe 20% of the time I've, like, in a non-double gaming situation, have I made the hit and then thought, yeah, that really worked out well. That was a good hit. That was really worth it. I'd say maybe, like, right in the middle, like 60% of the time, I'm like, well, that was kind of neutral. You know, like, maybe I lost a point that I would have gained. Maybe that range is even smaller. Let's say, like, that's 40%. Then the other 40% of the time, like, should not have burned 4. That did not work out. That was a huge blunder.
I'll put it this way, and I think Jamie ultimately put it perfectly, but imagine for a moment that you're at the mall with a young 8-year-old Brandon and his mother, and Brandon says, I really want this. And my mom turns to me and says, well, wait till it goes on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the transfer policy. Don't burn four, wait till it goes on sale.
I thought this was going to be about the Little German Boy coins.
Oh, yeah, that will save that. Save my centennial quarter story for another podcast.
All right.
All right, finally, the last celebratory piece of advice for us here on our 100th episode of Always Cheating comes from Uppercut Panda, just one of our old pals. We really love him. He actually gave himself his own name for the podcast.
If you want your own name,
you can give it to yourself.
Yeah, we had a shortening feature where we told anybody who was listening that we would give them a nickname that we would use every time they were on the podcast. This is like 2.5 years ago. He was the only person to actually respond, and so we're keeping it going in a sense.
All right, so Uppercut Panda has this sage piece of advice for all of you FPL managers out there. Always have respect for the game. This game is not easy at all. And I love this. I love that all the players in the World Cup will have the word respect somewhere on their shirt sleeve. And sure. They have it there because they respect the FPL game, just like Uppercut Panda.
That's true. Nothing else I can say. Thank you, everybody. I hope this was informative to people listening. And maybe we'll try to copy this and paste it up on Twitter or something like that. We'll share it out so that in case you want to take a look at the advice in writing, because I think it's really good and useful stuff. And I think even just reading through this and talking about it, I feel like it's helped me to refine my own decision-making a little bit.
Absolutely. Thanks to all of our friends and to all of our listeners for helping us celebrate the big 100. I'm sure that's something people say.
I think it is. Let's take a break.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brandon, we're back, and before we get into the lightning round, we've got a lot of questions about Salah and company. We have a special message that we'd like to share. Actually, it's sort of a two-part special message. Part one is that we have a winner in the Starting 11 Beat the Cheaters contest. That winner is John Torstensen. John, woo, congratulations.
John.
204.8. He destroyed Brandon when they played. Absolutely annihilated him. It was kind of embarrassing, actually.
Yeah, it was humiliating for sure.
So we ran a contest over the last three game weeks. You could challenge us any week, and the highest score just for that one particular match over those three game weeks was the winner of the contest. I made it sound very complicated. It wasn't that complicated. But I played people this weekend. I played Roger Kendrick. I played Sigurd Eskelin. I played Trevor Ingerson, and played a lot of people with Nordic names this weekend. In the end, it was John Torstensen who was victorious. And so, John, you get to name one of our teams. Now, obviously, you play Brandon. If that means you want to rename his team, that's fine.
John and I are friends.
That's up to you. That's going to stick through Christmas. So any name you pick, and then we'll do it. I think we'll do it again on the 1st of January. We'll run it for a few more weeks. Yeah. And this is all for Starting 11. Starting 11, that's the numbers 11.io. It's a daily fantasy. It's a lot of fun. You can challenge your friends, and it's a nice way to break up the FPL game format. It's there are a lot of in-depth statistics that just don't get that don't get highlighted in the fantasy game that this app actually does feature. And so it's a chance to really be a little more thoughtful when you put together your team. You're also allowed in-game substitutions. So if you have a player or even a captain for that matter who gets subbed off, you can actually sub them off, or you can sub on another player from that match into the game. And you can play any day that there are two or more matches, and there's no budget, and it's just a lot of fun. And I know from our conversation with them, there's a lot of really cool changes on the way as well. So starting11.io, or you can download the app on the iTunes store or the Android store and check it out. And Brandon, am I missing anything?
Just the fact that Starting 11 is beautiful to look at. It's one of the most lovely soccer apps that I have on my phone. So, check it out just for that reason alone. And I also just want to say, John, be nice.
Be kind, John.
Be kind, John, in your team name selection. But DM us with your thoughts on that, John. But congratulations, and thanks to Starting 11.
Yeah, I agreed. And even though we don't have a contest running the next couple of weeks, we're actually running head-to-heads at every single weekend throughout the season. All you have to do is challenge us by emailing us or finding us on Twitter or Facebook and sending us a message, and we'll get you all set up and ready to go.
Okay, Josh, I feel like we, even though we're in like full blown like birthday party mode in this podcast, I think we have to do a quick debrief on like talking points from game week 11. So we set up a special lightning round here heading into the international break, and we broke out a bunch of listener questions into three main positions on the field. Of course, last episode we talked about goalkeepers, so I don't think we need to talk about GKs for the rest of the season, right?
No, I think that's done.
All right, so we're just going to jump from defense to midfield to strikers, lightning round style, starting off with Jamie Umbach. He has a question regarding Chelsea. I don't know what you thought about Chelsea's defensive performance today against Manchester United, Josh, but...
Well, yeah, Conte was back, you know, I think that...
Yeah, and Jamie says as much. He says, how much better do we feel about Chelsea defense with the return of N'Golo Kanté? Are Jones and Man United still the best options? So, of course, we keep preaching that Manchester United has the one sort of must-have defense in the game. But judging by how Chelsea looked playing at home against Manchester United with Conte back in the lineup, the defense was quite convincing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Jose Mourinho road team, so they certainly weren't planning to score more than one goal in the match. I think they're perfectly acceptable. I still don't think I would spend $7 million on Marcus Alonso. Aspilicueta, just given the way he links up the Morata, does seem like a great option. But
5 assists to Morata, yeah, from Aspilicueta. That's
all right. How about this? Would you rather have Antonio Valencia or Aspilicueta?
Assuming I don't have a defender from, like, I don't have a United goalkeeper.
Sure. Right. You're on a wild card or something.
It's
a tough question.
I feel like it is a tough question. As Dave seems like more fun. Aspilicueta actually, frankly, seems like he'll score as many points at the end of the season as Valencia, and he'll probably be more fun to watch.
I would go with Valencia. I just trust the defense more, so I think you're going to get more easy points from clean sheets. But also, if Mourinho continues to play 3 at the back, which he's kind of, I don't know, has he done it really? He did it last week, and then he did it this week for the first like 60 minutes, and then he subbed off Jones. I don't know if that's going to keep happening, but in that 3 at the back formation, Valencia looks really good.
And yeah, he is. He's got a little more freedom.
He's such a great crosser of the ball, and he's, you know, he was a wing back in the day. I mean, you know, when you and I were first playing fantasy,
sure,
he was a midfield option.
Back when we were playing with him in Ecuador.
Exactly. We played Ecuadorian Premier League. We didn't want to jump right into the English game. We wanted to start smaller.
Exactly. We're like Batman, just traveling the world, learning our trade.
All right. Let's remember this is the lightning round, though. We gotta move.
Oh, okay. So speaking of Phil Jones, M Bison 22 writes in: as the fixtures begin to get congested, will Phil Jones play 3 Premier League games in 1 week? So we're starting to get the rotation jitters here with Manchester United for pretty much the first time this season. You commented, of course, that Jones got subbed off when Mourinho changed up the system midway through that Chelsea game. How are you feeling as a Jones owner about his spot?
Is he that less likely than any other player to not play 3 Premier League matches in a week? I mean, not many people will, right? Yeah. So,
The only concern is that Jones is very injury prone, and that more games is just more opportunity for him to fall down and not get up again.
Yeah, I mean, having Gabriel Jesus when they're playing 3 Premier League games in a week is going to suck as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I actually might just... Well, this is a topic for another podcast, because we could go deep on this, but, you know, having Man City players over the holiday fixtures is not going to be a lot of fun, right? Like, it's going to
be a nightmare.
I feel like I have not been on the right side of the Man City lottery so far. I mean, I can't believe that Sané just has not gotten any rest.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of Man City, Josh, next defensive question is about Otamendi. On the Rise tweeted at us, time to drop Otamendi for Smalling or Bailly. So Otamendi, one of the first players of note, no disrespect to Pablo Zabaleta, to be serving a ban for yellow card accumulation. is this reason alone to drop Otamendi, or would you say just keep Otamendi?
I think Otamendi for Bailly is an awesome move, especially given the fixtures coming up for Man United. I wouldn't bring in Smalling because I think he's a rotation risk, but Bailly, as long as he's healthy, is going to start like almost every game. He's like a total rock back there. So that's what I would do. And like the Man City defense is just not that impressive, right? I mean,
yeah,
they weren't the start of the season, but I just, I don't know.
I picked up John Stones like 5 weeks ago, and it's just been a hair-pulling sort of situation. Hasn't come through. I mean, much is made about, well, City has all this possession, and they're just crushing teams. The clean sheets will come. Well, they do not appear to be coming.
Yeah, they did at the start of the season, and then it was like they came, and then we all jumped on, and then they went away.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they'll come back. But that's a question for another day, Brandon. Dave from Burnley, the one and only, says, the question over his lips, should we start a Burnley defender every game? I'm going to go with yes for now.
Absolutely. Bringing back Ben Mee into my squad, he'd been gone too long. It feels good, and
they've already played away to City, right? Like they've played away to Chelsea. Yeah. Like some of their most difficult matches are already in the rearview mirror. So, you know, maybe away to Arsenal. You know, there's like a few times when you wouldn't. But right now, I play them in every home match, no matter who they were playing.
Well, what do you make of this talk that Sean Dyche might be looking to take the Everton job?
I think he probably wants to take it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess. Seems like a good hire, right? I mean,
but what? Okay, so I mean, Sean Dyche has proven himself to be a great manager. Do you see that having a negative impact on the Burnley squad going forward if they have to make their way with a new manager?
Yes, it probably would. But you know, let's cross that bridge.
When we're not in the lightning round. all right, promoted sides real quick. Let's just do a debrief. You asked a very provocative question to me last night, Josh.
As we were watching Riot in Cell Block 99.
Yeah, what a crazy movie that was. basically, are all the promoted teams going to stay up this season? It was hard to, particularly this weekend, pick out a weak promoted side. I mean, Newcastle didn't get a result, but they still look really talented, and they have what it takes to get to, you know, 35 to 40 points.
Yeah, I guess Brighton would be the one that would be the concern. I know they've actually been on a little bit of a roll right now, but you could see them going through some stretch in the winter where they just don't score for five or six matches in a row, right? And they just don't pick up any points.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all it takes to kind of get down in those final three spots. So, yeah, I mean, Huddersfield, it just seems like they've got that kind of Bournemouth style, like,
yeah,
all for one mentality. I mean, I think what's going to happen is they'll stay around this year. David Wagner will go coach somewhere else. Like he'll go to Schalke or something and then they'll drop next year.
Yeah, right? That's plausible. Evan Estes wrote in and say, why did I play Schindler? Why do I even have him? I mean, I know why, because Huddersfield actually ended up with a clean sheet. So don't beat yourself up about that, Evan. That was just bad luck. But then on to Newcastle, Rachel tweeted in at us saying, first of all, congrats on 100 eps. Thanks, Rachel. Elliot, so Lascelles has picked up some sort of injury. There's no telling how long Lascelles is going to be out for. Are you having any concerns about Rob Elliott or the Newcastle defense these days?
Well, not really.
Do you think about them at all?
No, I mean, I'm not like, what a heartbreaker I'm glad that I captained that I played Fabianski over Elliott only. Actually, no, I guess Elliott, at least you got one more point. I would take one more point. But yeah, I mean, I've got two really bad keepers right now, and I would actually love to bring in De Gea and just double up in my defense. Yeah. So that's, I mean, Pope is the cheap option. The one thing I will say about Pope is does anyone out there know when he's actually going to come back, when Heaton's going to come back? Because
yeah, on Premier Injuries, which is Lord Dinnery's website, it's it's uncertain. Return date is unknown. So it's sort of whatever you want. It's not going to be any time
Well, thank you for that. Okay, yeah, yeah.
The point is you've probably got at least a couple months with Nick left.
Because the problem is it's kind of hard to make a goalkeeper transfer. You know, like it's hard to burn a transfer and a keeper. But then I really don't want to do is burn a transfer and a keeper that I then have to burn a second transfer on. Because, you know, now like without the way that the second wild card typically works is you're not burning that until, you know, closer to those double game weeks. And so I may not play my wild card until game week 32 or 33, right? So if I bring in Pope, I might just have to play Elliott and Pope in rotation for, you know, and then it just becomes Elliott by himself every single game week, which is not anything I want to do.
That's not a world I want to live in. Yeah. I Love Football 2 tweets asking for thoughts on Bournemouth. They have great fixtures coming up. See you looking at Bournemouth's fixtures. Huddersfield, Swansea, Burnley, Southampton, Palace, and three of those are at home in the next 5 weeks. Even though they got a result, they're looking up. They got a clean sheet. I'm not bowled over by Bournemouth still.
Well, to be honest, that's an option that I'm looking at as a replacement for Ben Davies.
Okay.
Ben Davies and Charlie Daniels, let's say, would save me 0.9 million. And if I brought him in before game week 12, then I've got Huddersfield, Swansea, Burnley, and Southampton in the next four. And this is a guy who, you know, is on free kicks, pretty dangerous the ball. Because they were so bad for so long, his price has actually fallen from 5 million to 4.8. So you're getting him for a really good price. He only has one goal and one assist on the season so far. And what a goal that goal was, game week three. So I think that Daniels is, Ake is someone I like just because with Ake, I think I just like him more as a player than a fantasy player. Like I just
you'd
like watching
to have
him
a beer
play
with Nathan Ake. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I would. And a beer summit with Nathan Ake.
All right, let's jump to midfielders here. Before we get to Mo Salah, which will be the bulk of this midfield lightning round, just a general comment from FPL Rich says, "Hi, chaps. First, there were the expensive wingbacks, then the power front three. Fair to say we've now reached, quote, peak midfield, and most of our money should be there." So it's been a big week for midfielders in game week 11.
It's true. I'm also just realizing we should have reached out to Richard Orford for a bit of advice as well. So sorry, Rich. You know, he actually was on our podcast, our Patreon podcast, a few months ago, and that's just an error on our part. So sorry, Rich. the thing is, I don't know that you need to spend too much money there because I think that you can still bring in, you know, you got to gamble with one Man City midfielder and they're still not that expensive. I think you'd want to have Richarlison right now. So between those two, that's only like 15 million. If you add in Salah, you're still only looking at 24 million, maybe 24.5 million. And so that leaves you plenty of money to put it elsewhere. So I do think that, you know, being thoughtful about the midfield is definitely like where I feel like all of our kind of fantasy brains are on the midfield right now. But I don't think that you can build a midfield and still have like a power front three, for example.
Yeah. Yeah. That Joe guy on Twitter kind of was leaning toward the one premium striker up front option. But I agree with you, Josh, kind of warning away from that. There are plenty of ways to at least get two strikers you're happy with.
Yeah. Question about Salah. Louis and Sadat both asked about is it Mane or Salah? And then is Salah fixture proof an absolute necessity? I'll answer the second one, and then I think that'll answer the first part too, which is I actually think he is fixture proof. And I think he is borderline essential. And the question I raised on Twitter yesterday was, is this guy about to have an Alexis Sanchez type season?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that our perspective on him is a little bit skewed because, you know, he joined Liverpool over the summer. He was kind of inserted slowly over the opening weeks. They had a Champions League qualifier they had to play. And so there's the midweek fixtures. So he has these two games where he plays 29 minutes and 45 minutes, doesn't get any goals or assists. But otherwise, we're looking at 7 goals and 3 assists through the first 11 games of the season. That extrapolates to, you know, a 20 goal, 10 assist player this year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Salah, Brendan? Are you thinking about bringing him in?
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking about him, bringing him in. you know, quickly, because I
dreaming about him.
Dream about Salah, Salah days. What can I? Yeah, well, went into a reverie there for a second. No, I think if you watch Salah play and you don't own him, you tend to like zero in on the mistakes that he's making and justifying like why you don't own him. But the fact is, like, all the sitters that he's missing or flubbed passes in the box, the fact that he's doing that plus walking away from game week 11 was still with 7 goals and 3 assists under his belt. There will be more game weeks in the future where everything clicks for Salah, and he's scoring hat tricks. I totally agree. And 20 goals for Salah at the end of the season, I don't think it seems conservative, but I think it seems probable. Yeah.
I mean, so what's 38 games? There's 27 matches left. He would have to score 13 goals in 27. So basically every other game, he'd have to score a goal.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, he's above that rate right now. And I mean, given how attack minded he is, given that Salah's now back, or that Mane's now back, I think it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, the question for people that don't have Salah is who to get rid of. So if I look at De Bruyne and Eriksen, on current evidence, Salah looks like he'll outperform both of those guys pretty consistently. But, you know, as a true emotional manager, I've developed attachments to these players. And also, like, to pick, I just have this terrible feeling that I'm going to pick the wrong one to get rid of, and I'm just going to hate myself.
you've come back so much the last few weeks, and your squad, it feels like you have all these problems there, but it's worked out so far. So
sure, it's just like our Kat Mortensen urging patience.
That's true. Very well put.
Yeah, Chris Gelke on Twitter says he's finally pulling the trigger on his wild card over the international break. Ask who our must haves are at this point in the season. So, I mean, Salah, I think it would be the first one that both of us would put on that list.
Yeah, Richarlison would be up there.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe one Man United defender, depending on whether you want to.
This actually leads us nicely into, we just have a few questions about forwards. Harry Kane. Harry Kane, must have? A lot of air coming out of that balloon.
I don't know. You know, I mean, we talked 2 weeks ago on the podcast, and I said, what we should never do anymore is Captain Kane at home against a team that isn't going to try to win the match, right? Like, or that's, I mean, this actually, Crystal Palace tried to score. They should have scored, in fact. And so just because Spurs didn't score a lot in this game, it wasn't like Palace just totally parked the bus. I mean, yeah, sure, they were a little defensive, I guess, but I mean, they had plenty of chances in that game. Like, they had a game plan that could have netted them at the worst a draw and possibly a win, right? Yeah. I mean, if Scott Dan scores in the header, if Wilfred Zaha doesn't blow an open net. I mean, you know, they at least should have scored a goal. And yeah, so I think, what was my point? I like got totally sidetracked. So Kane, right?
Is he a must have?
So Kane, I mean, it's a lot of blanks for the most expensive player in the game, but I'm still leaning towards borderline must have just because, you know, the when he scores, it's like he only gets two, right? Like, in fact, so let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. So Kane has scored 8 goals this season. He has 7 matches where he has not scored a single goal, and he has 4 matches where he scored braces. And he does not have a single match where he's only scored 1 goal. So it's 13, 13, 13, 16, surrounded by 2, 0, 2, 2, 1, 1. How do you even – have you ever seen this? Yeah. I mean, it is the weirdest return.
Yeah, Joe Pilgrim on Twitter says first says, congrats, guys. And then he asks, does Kane have to return every week to be worth the cost? So it's just what you're saying, Josh. Like, he's 12.7 or 8 or however much he costs now. And on those weeks where he's hitting, you know, between 10 and 15 or higher, suddenly it's the bandwagon. And then – I just can't do this week in, week out with Kane where and people so are just weird. Freaking out about him. I'm not sure if this season will be remembered more for Man City rotation freakouts or Harry Kane freakouts.
Yeah, I have an interesting decision coming up in game week 13 where Kane plays West Brom at home. In that same week, Lukaku plays Brighton at home.
Yeah.
And who do you prefer in that game, in that match? You know, like, I mean, okay, Lukaku's out of form right now, so maybe Kane is the pick. But, I mean, it can't keep happening, right? He can't keep playing bad teams and not scoring at home. It just seems, given that his stats are good, it just seems like this fluke, this, like, crazy fluke that's just going to right itself eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we take into account the midweek fixture against Real Madrid that had just so much intensity around it.
Yes,
and yes. I think there are some extenuating.
He's injured, right?
Yeah, I mean, still coming back from injury. And fact of the matter is, Wembley is what it is. We established that earlier in the season. It just doesn't get fixed overnight. I mean, the probability of Kane scoring at Wembley is like slowly getting better. We haven't solved that problem yet.
Final question. Ian Davis says, are the City players part of an elaborate job-sharing scheme where they alternate start alternate games? If so, should we stick with the mids?
I love the idea that Man City is like crowdsourcing their attacking output.
I wish they were the same price, and then you could just like swap them back and forth.
Yeah.
You know? But even then, it's hard to know because, you know, Aguero started at midweek, and so I was very surprised when Jesus didn't start this weekend. I really thought he would get to start, even though he looked bad away to West Brom.
The issue that I'm now having with Jesus is it looks like Pep is pretty wedded to the one-striker system at the moment. And if Aguero is the favorite, Jesus is going to see some pretty limited minutes based on that. I mean, Aguero's not going to start every game.
Yeah. I think Jesus has to go for me. I just, you know, I mean, he's a squad player. I don't know that he's, you know, he's almost 11 million, right? I mean, he's really expensive for a player who's only going to be starting like half the matches.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, he's not going to get an offside goal every week.
Yeah. I mean, I think just going with the mids is probably the safest route and ultimately the most effective. I mean, Aguero is, would you classify him the same way as Jesus?
A little less so. I think he's a little more reliable. I think Pep seems to trust him a little bit more. I just think if they're not going to play, if, you know, like super reliably, I'd rather they be 8 million or 8.2 or whatever Sterling is right now instead of 10.6. It just, you know, I mean, it's just that I'd rather have that extra money for a more reliable player.
Yeah. All right, so that's it, Josh. We're not going to do a game week preview because it's the international break, but we're going to come back next week and do a proper game week 12 preview, answer more of your questions. We actually got a great tweet from FPL Ginger who says, I know there are no games next weekend, but bring back the optimizer. So that's one for all you real always cheating heads out there. So maybe we can optimize next week.
Let's do it. You can always find the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud. Email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com. Visit the website alwayscheating.com. Support the podcast on Patreon. That's patreon.com/alwayscheating. And I'll update this week with some news and information. We're planning on rolling out a couple new features for our Patreon supporters. If you like this episode, you know, this is like a little more, general interest maybe just cause we were talking about FPL strategy. So, if you like it, please, you know, share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook. You know, even just send us a comment on Reddit. It's nice to hear what people think about the podcast. And you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Acast, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and basically wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh, it's been a great 100 episodes. Let's do it again.
Let's do 100 more, exactly 100 more, and then we stop.
All right, and thanks to all our listeners, of course. We'll see you next week. Hail Poku.
Yes, free Mbakani, finally.
R.I.P.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.